So, this is the first time that I've done this in a long time, and I'll try not to torture you guys too much. But we are going to look at several scriptures, and then I'm going to do a testimony towards the end after I do the scripture part of it. But we need to look at God's Word anytime that we're here. We always need to look at God's Word. Visited churches before where they never opened the Bible, and you know it's a social club, and we're not a social club here. And I'm glad to see our younger ones here, because I really wish that it would have been nice when I was your age if I would have heard some of these things that you're going to hear tonight. So you have to listen to what God has to say. So first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I need help here, so I'm going to ask the Lord to do that. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be here in your house tonight. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we look at your word. And Lord, just help me and to be clear in what I have to say. And Lord, just I want people to realize this is all from you, nothing really from me. Just help us with that, Lord, and thank you for each one that's here. Just bless us now, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to be turning to a few scriptures. We're kind of used to that. So it's not really a Bible drill, but we're going to be a few places here for a little while. And we're going to start out in 1 Corinthians. Sorry about that. 1 Chronicles. Can't read my own writing, so we're starting out really good here. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to read verses 10 through 14 to start with. I'll give you a time to find this. Everybody there? Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is greatness and power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine, and of thy own have we given thee." Okay, so what David's saying there, you know, David wanted to build a house for the Lord, but the Lord said, "No, you can collect the materials for that, but your son is the one that's going to end up building a house for me there, the temple for the Lord." But David understood everything belongs to God, and that's the very first thing that we need to understand. You know, he says in that verse 14 there, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given." The people very willingly offered. They brought, they just kept bringing things for that temple to be built. They willingly offered, but they realized, David realized, that everything actually belongs to God. We're giving God back what's already his. So we're really not giving anything. So eventually here you'll kind of see where I'm going with this. But I wanted to start out with that, because that's the very first thing we need to realize, that everything. We get the idea sometimes, we kind of forget that. We get to thinking, this belongs to me. It's mine. Don't touch. And everything we have comes from God. So now we'll go back to the New Testament now, and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. Most of these verses are going to be pretty self-explanatory, so we're just going to kind of go through those, and you'll see in the end here where we're headed. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I guess where we need to go with that verse is, do we really believe God? You know, right about now I can get on some pretty thin ice, but I'm not going to go there. But we need to believe that God can supply all of our need. And I can tell you from my own experience, God does, definitely, and far above even. He supplies all of our needs. So now let's go to Hebrews 13:5. Just a little ways over. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a comfort, when we really realize that our conversation is our lifestyle. I really have confidence that our church as a group here, we don't have a covetous lifestyle. This is a very giving church, and that was reflected in our very amazing, generous offering during our Faith Promise Missions Conference we just had. But we still need to be on our guard. Satan's always right there handy, and he's ready to cause us problems. And we just need to keep it in mind always that, our lifestyle needs to be such that, it's not a covetous. We don't need to be seeking more things. Talking to Donna a little bit a while ago, and we're talking about all the things that we have, and some of us are trying to get rid of some of these things because we've collected way too much stuff. It's what we do. So now let's go to Ecclesiastes 5:10. Told you we were going to bounce around here a little bit. We'll get there. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5:10. It kind of goes along with the covetous idea. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Solomon, he had it figured out. He knew, he had everything. Stuff came to him right and left. God just blessed him so much. And, money is kind of a necessary evil in a way. We can't really live without it, but we shouldn't seek after it as far as wanting to become rich. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy, back to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verses 6 through 10 on that. Allergy season is going on. I don't know about you guys, but with the smoke and everything that we've been having today, it's kind of, my eyes are watering, my nose is running. It's trying to keep going here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Get the right spot here. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. doesn't say money is evil, it says the love of money is evil. It's the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we need to be very cautious and careful. Like I said, we can, we think that we're fine and none of these problems will ever come upon us, as far as starting to think a little bit too much about money and if I just had some more money, I could do this or I could do that. We need to kind of be cautious of that because Satan is right there ready to throw a boulder right in front of us. Okay, so now, still in the New Testament, Luke chapter 12. Verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses." That's what Jesus is saying right there. And then in verse 34, same chapter, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Amen.
Very true. That is such a true statement the Lord makes right there. And Matthew 6:24 kind of goes right along with the very same thought there. Matthew 6:24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Okay, very self-explanatory as well. And Matthew, okay, let's see. Let's go to verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And sometimes these, God's very plain about what he tells us about these things, but sometimes it's a little hard for us to grasp it and really claim it. Like I said kind of at the beginning, do we really believe God and what God is telling us here? That's what it kind of boils down to. Luke 16. We didn't go there yet, did we? Luke 16 and verse 10. Is everybody there? Luke 16:10. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So look what Jesus considers to be the least important thing. Sometimes we consider it to be the most important thing, don't we? We're kind of the opposite of what Jesus is saying there. The money and things are the very least important. It should be anyway. So we need to look at it as Jesus looks at it, in the same way that he does. Okay, so just a few more here, and then we'll won't torture you too much more. How about Luke chapter 6 back there again in verse 38? Luke 6:38. "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, and to your bosom, for With the same measure that ye meet, with it shall be measured to you again. Okay. And, of course, you know, the go-to verse, a lot of times when we hear messages about tithing, where do we go?
Malachi.
That's right. Chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last book of the Old Testament. Right before Matthew. We'll get there. Okay, Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10 is the go-to verse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith. I'm going to start over. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, that's another one that's, you know, we need to believe what God says there. Because he's not just saying that to be saying something. If we follow what he tells us, he blesses us and he pours out blessings that, you know, I mean, just beyond measure. And so I'm going to kind of shift gears just a little bit now. We've talked about, you know, money and covetousness and those sort of things. We shouldn't have those in our lives. We should believe what God has to say about giving and how important it is for us to give and what kind of blessings we can get from that. So let's shift just a little bit, because when I do testimony here, I want you to understand a few other things as well. So, what about debt? Is it okay to be in debt? You know, most people these days are definitely in debt. The Bible doesn't say anything about debt being sinful. But it does have quite a few things to say about debt. And I want us to look just at a couple, three verses about that, and then we won't have to do any more Bible drill after that. How about Proverbs 22:7? That's kind of that's one that everybody should know. Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Okay? So, that's not saying don't ever borrow anything, but it's telling you that if you do borrow, then you're servant to the lender from that point until you're paying off whatever it is that you borrowed. How about Ecclesiastes 5:5? Just a few pages over. To the right. Better it is that thou shouldest not bow than that thou shouldest bow and not pay. Okay, in other words, if you, you know, borrowing is the same as a vow. You're making a vow or you're signing a contract when you borrow anything. And we want to be sure that if we do borrow, that we definitely pay back. Okay, that's what that verse is telling us right there. It's way better to not make a vow at all than to make it and then not keep it. And that's not only with money things. That's if you make a vow to the Lord about anything, you better keep it. Okay. Okay. How about Psalm 37:21? Back up just a little bit. wrote down the wrong verse there, so I'm not sure what it was.
So John 3:37.
If we could borrow it.
Okay.
Sounds great. I could go along with it.
Well, if I was in Psalms, it would help. Here we go. Okay, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Okay? And, okay, one more. Romans 13:8. Everybody should have this verse memorized, if that's some of you do. I'm going to go through it while I'm still trying to record it without looking at it. 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So owe no man anything except to show our love towards each other and to mankind in general. Sometimes that's not easy to do, but that's what we should do. So I've got a few minutes left here, so I want to give a little testimony about how God has worked in my life and oriented my life. When we first got saved, which was quite a few years ago, kind of figured out right away that tithing was a good thing, and we wanted to do that. And so we started tithing, and was going pretty good for a while, and then pretty soon it was like, well, we're going backwards here. It's like, we don't have enough money. And so, you know, we talked that over, and well, we're not going to quit tithing. So something else has got to go here. And so what we started doing, and maybe some of you older folks have done this before too, but we got out a bunch of envelopes, and we figured out basically a budget. Okay, we need this much money for this much money for that, and so that we knew exactly where the money was going. We put it in the envelopes, and if an envelope ran out before the next paycheck, we didn't take money out of another envelope and try to cover something there. It was just, we had what we had for that, and if it was gone, it was gone. But the tithe was always first. And pretty soon we noticed that God really blessed that, and suddenly we had plenty of money for everything. It was like, okay, well, this is working good. And jump forward a long ways. After a bunch of years, I ended up having back problems. Same thing Pastor just went through. I'm very thankful that he's doing so well, and I knew he would, because I've actually gone through it twice, and instant pain relief. It's a wonderful thing, because there's nothing like the back pain, and I understood very well what he had. Well, when I had my first one, it was quite an ordeal, and I didn't claim workman's comp or anything like that, and so we basically didn't have any income coming in for quite a long time. I was off work for about 6 months, I think, before they allowed me to come back at all. And but the Lord provided, even through all of that time. And there was things that happened that were, I mean, amazing, really, when you think about it. Our company had offered some stocks somewhere along the way, and they just kind of put that aside. And then at some point they said, well, you have to either take this out or roll it over into a retirement account. So we talked it over. Well, let's take that out in cash. That was kind of something we weren't counting on at all. And let's go to Alaska for a month. And that was a great idea. But I think it was just a couple of days before I went down with my back, this money came. That stock money came. So we had that. At one point, the electric bill was due. And We didn't have money for the electric bill, and one of the guys from work showed up with a card, handed it to me, said, "We took up a little collection and worked for you. We were kind of concerned about you and stuff." And so when he left, looked at the card, and the money was exactly enough to pay the electric bill. They had no clue about that at all, but there was just exactly enough money to pay our electric bill that month. And then another one that happened was, I can't remember what was due, we didn't have the money for it, and we got a check from our insurance company. It's like, they never send you money back, do they? But they did. God put it on their heart to send us the money back for some reason. I don't even remember what it was, but it was enough to pay whatever it was that was due. And so through the whole process of time there, I was kind of a captive audience because I couldn't really do anything. I listened to a radio program, and there was a fellow there that was doing a Christian financial program every day at 1 o'clock on the radio. So I listened to that and started looking at the Bible and what he was saying. And so I kind of made a vow to the Lord, or I don't know if you'd call it a vow, really, kind of a deal with the Lord. Lord, if you'll let me get healed up and go back to work, we'll do our best to get out of debt. And we had mortgage payment, you know, I mean, we had all the stuff everybody normally has. And so had kind of set a goal. So I said, well, this 3 years, we'll be out of debt. I honestly didn't believe there was any way we could be out of debt in 3 years. I just knew there was no way. But I set that goal, or we set the goal. And so eventually there, I got to go back to work. And I thought, well, probably what's going to happen, my company's going to find some reason to fire me because bad back, you know, and all that. But I hadn't claimed workman's comp, which I think was probably a good thing in the end there. I couldn't really blame the company for what happened. I mean, it kind of finished it off, but after talking to doctors and everything, it was a cumulative thing, and abusing myself over years and years that where the back problem come from. So in good conscience, I couldn't really claim workman's comp for that. But anyway, they let me come back to work half a day to start with. And after a couple months, they said, well, if you feel like working all day, go ahead and come back to work. So I ended up working there until I retired. But the amazing part of the whole thing, remember the 3 year, we promised God, or we would do our very best to get completely out of debt in 3 years. And in 2 years, we were out of debt. I didn't make that much money. I mean, we had like a $40,000 mortgage back then. That was a lot back then. And, you know, how did it happen? You know, that's what God does. If you're faithful and if you follow God's principles of giving, and, you know, just these verses that we looked at tonight are really important to remember and concentrate on them and believe what God is saying. And like I started out, you younger folks, if you will hear what I'm saying and start right now thinking this way, your life will be so much better all the way through. You'll be so blessed. I can't say enough about what God has done for us. So I will let you guys ask any questions if you'd like. That's really. Do I need to add anything to that for you? You can speak now. She said they wanted to say something. I know. OK. Okay?
You're wrong.
Cover everything pretty good? I mean, there's lots more. I mean, that, I'm just kind of giving you a few of the highlights here of what God did for us and how I'm still amazed by some of the things that God has done. And I was even able to retire early from work because of how God took care of us and provided so well. And we've, you know, because of what God's done, we've done fine. We've been able to, faith promised, still amazes me every time I think about that, because, you know, we didn't know anything about faith promise until we started coming to church at this church. The church that we used to go to was called Missionary Baptist, and I'm not sure why, but this church is missionary minded, and you know, they did preach the gospel, and we got saved there, so I'm not going to knock them too much, but the missions giving thing just still amazes me. I think of one time when Brother Thomas, who's in India, was here for our Faith Promise Missions Conference, and, you know, God just, you know, he gets a hold of you sometimes. Brother Thomas was preaching, and he said, "You just started to double your faith promise." And I'm like, "Say what? You know, God, you can't be saying that, you know?" And okay. So I actually did. I doubled my faith promise that year. And it's like, how's this going to work? It's doubled again and again since then. It's like, my income has not changed, really. I mean, I'm retired, so once you're retired, you're kind of on this fixed income thing. But it still just amazes me, you know, how we're able to give, and God still provides everything we need. We haven't been kicked out of our house or anything. We're still there. So that's just I wanted you guys to hear that testimony. Pastor wanted me to bring it to you because hopefully it's an encouragement to you, and it'll give you some things to really think about as far as, like, follow God's principles when it comes to dealing with finances and everything else, really. But I mean, the financial thing I know a lot about because God has blessed us so well with everything that way. So if you have any questions, otherwise I'm going to say I'm done.
Hey, Ron. Who was the radio personality?
Larry Burkett. Yeah, and Larry had sometime along during that time I was listening to him, he actually ended up getting a cancer and he passed away. I don't know, a couple years later. There's other ones that are pretty good. He was real good. I mean, he went right to the scriptures and stuck with the Bible, and that's, I like that. That's where the answers all are, is right there in the Bible for everything.